You're listening to The Philip Jordan Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Philip Jordan Show. I'm your host, Philip Jordan, in-studio host and producer of Dutton Woods Football on 96.9 The Legend and Auburn writer for Last Word on college football. Got a great show planned for you guys today. I'm going to be joined by a longtime guest. It's been a while since me and this guy have chatted in podcast form, but Brett Sobolewski. He is the Bleacher Report NFL analyst and part of the Bleacher Report scouting department, and he and Matt Holder, also over there at Bleacher Report, recently put up a 2025 mock draft, and there's some very interesting names they have going in the first round for next year, and we're going to talk about it. We will focus heavily on Carson Beck, Jalen Milroe, of course, Georgia and Alabama's quarterbacks, and also we'll look at wide receiver from Missouri, Luther Burden. So very good, interesting conversation with Brett about that, and also just kind of like, when does that process start of putting together the mock draft? So that and plenty more good football content here on today's edition of the Philip Jordan Show. You can check out the Philip Jordan Show podcast over at wiregrassdailynews.com or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please follow, rate, and review. Leave a review, and I will read it on a future edition of the show. And if you leave just 4 stars, you are just a straight-up hater. You can email me at sports.philipjordan@gmail.com.
96.9 The Legend is your connection to classic country legend. But Digio Strategies has other options too. News Talk 103.9 is your source for America's top news and entertainment shows like Rick and Bubba in the morning, Glenn Beck from 9 till 11 a.m., and Clay Travis and Buck Sexton middays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. Sean Hannity, Lars Larson, Ben Shapiro, Matt Walsh, and others fill your day with the latest news and views from America's top conservative voices. America at Night and Coast to Coast AM keep you company and connected throughout the night. Plus, Fox News, the Alabama Radio Network, and Wiregrass Daily News keep you informed with national, international, state, and local news. And with more musical choices like All the Hits, 106.7 KMX, Today's Country, 95.5 WTVY, and Music 107.7. Digio Strategies gives you more choices and more variety. Listen on air, online, and on our apps. 96.9 The Legend is just the beginning.
Everybody joining me on the show today, this is one of the all-timers when it comes to guests I've had on the podcast. Brett Sobolewski, Bleacher Report NFL analyst, also part of the Bleacher Report scouting department. And Brent, appreciate you coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's perfect time to kind of take a deep breath, relax a little bit. It's been a hectic few months, my friend, and I'm glad to be back and talking a little football with you.
Do you really get to take a breath, though, when you cover the draft the way you do?
Yes, and not because it stops, because anyone that actually follows the NFL draft understands it's a 365 process, but the overall load of what you have to actually produce lightens up, so that makes it a little easier overall. Now, with that said, looking at it, I've already done a 2025 mock draft. We're already looking at some of those prospects, and I believe if you're not doing that now, you're already behind, even though it just happened 2 weekends ago. So that's my mindset at all time with the NFL draft, but that's why I love it, and I have a wonderful opportunity to cover it. Well, this was my 21st this year, so that's a bit insane if you think about it.
Yeah, it is really an interesting thing because, like you said, I mean, you see everybody. I mean, everybody that covers it well already has their mock draft ready a day or two after, if not the day after draft ends. And, of course, you and Matt Holder over there at Bleacher Report put y'all's out right after the 2024 draft. And I'm just curious, if you don't mind, just kind of almost, you know, how the sausage is made. When does that process start, when you kind of, in a way, turn the page from the 2024 prospects and start looking into the 2025?
I mean, if you want me to be technical, it starts during the previous cycle, right? So I can tell you for a fact that one of the things we're very proud of at Bleacher Report and having the full scouting department is we are the first getting out reports throughout the process, throughout any outlet you can find. You can go, or at least any of the major national outlets, you can go and sit there and sift through our initial evaluations, and those will be tweaked as the season goes along, or if there's more film as the season progresses and as our overall evaluation changes. But during that process, there are certain prospects you're looking at thinking to yourself, okay, well, he could very well declare and we may have a first-round grade on him, right? Well, let's use the Ohio State guys as an example. With the advent of NIL and how it's dominating collegiate football, we did not expect almost the entirety of the Ohio State roster to go back this year. And I'm assuming, we don't know the exact numbers because that's not public knowledge, but it's a windfall of cash for those young men to return to Columbus this year. And yet we had a few of those reports already made for this year's cycle. So technically you're starting that, right? But if you're asking specifically about the mock draft process, we began that and started to put that together the Thursday before the first round. So literally a few hours before it began, he and I sat down and went through it. The nice part is there wasn't a lot of significant changes because you have certain expectations of what teams are going to do anyways, right? You knew that the Chicago Bears were taking a quarterback, right? And you assumed that all of those top three teams were taking quarterbacks. So you're operating on that. The biggest thing you have to worry about if there's any significant moves made throughout that process, which there really wasn't any in this year's draft. None of those top receivers that were kind of discussed moved from between team to team, so that didn't change anything. And for us, we try to keep the fail-safe of betting odds as our draft order for the following year. That way you can blame Vegas and not us when your favorite team is picking in the top five. So that's essentially how we kind of boil it down. And the fact that, you know, I grade every single pick in real time over 3 days is pretty exhausting. So me and Matt, our one scout, Matt Holder, we split duties on actually writing it this year. And I think we got it out pretty quickly and hopefully well done and enjoyable for those out there who read it.
Yeah, it was a good read and very interesting. I saw the first three picks. I said, SEC guy, SEC guy, SEC guy. So, okay, we'll get somebody else, which – anybody knows, look, my Twitter handle is PJordanSEC. I had no problem with that, but I know, looking at that, I shied away from a little SEC bias, Brent, just a little bit, not too much from overboard.
What I find interesting about Philip and what I want to see that happens in this process, one of the things that's been unique with the way we operate the scouting department is we are essentially trying to be a third-party front office for readers, right? Mm-hmm. We do not operate under the assumption that we need to represent what the NFL is thinking, right? We want to evaluate prospects based on our skilled scouts who are very well known on social media. For those, you know, Matt, we mentioned him earlier, he played at the collegiate level, right? He's coached, he knows the game. Brandon Thorne, for anyone out there who loves offensive line play, you cannot find a more definitive voice on offensive linemen on social media, period. Corey Giddings, our other scout, has been in the NFL in that same capacity, right? You have Derek Clawson, who is very well known in certain national outlets, doing like the Mina Kimes show and whatnot, talking about quarterbacks and evaluating some of the skill positions. So we want to give you what we're seeing from our expertise, from our scouts, so that it's not entirely tied into what NFL teams are doing, right? Mm-hmm. Because NFL teams view things differently. They're going to have so many guys knocked off their board. They're going to have the full medicals, which no one outside of the league receives. They're going to have the interview process, which we're not allowed sitting in on. It's purely evaluation and how we see the talent capable of playing at the next level. And so that also has its own pitfalls, right? And one of the things we want to do from a self-evaluation standpoint is look at where can we be better? Right. Everyone can be better in their coverage. Everyone can be better in evaluation. It's an inexact science with the NFL draft. In our case, one of the things I noticed is this was the fourth year, our fourth draft class altogether. All 4 years, we've had the same guy run the gamut as the number one overall talent. It was Trevor Lawrence, and then it was Kayvon Thibodeau, it was Will Anderson Jr., and this year it was Marvin Harrison Jr. Now, I started this by saying what I found interesting about this coming class in 2025. I don't know if that's going to be the case because mm-hmm. I don't think there's a declarative number one overall talent. We have Tennessee's James Pierce there, and I think he's the favorite right now, but there's no slam dunk guy there this year as we've seen in previous seasons.
And obviously, I think all people, when they read anything draft related, like, okay, what's the deal with quarterbacks? And of course, we had six quarterbacks taken in the first round, 2024, all in the top 12. Going into, you guys had four going into the first round. Just overall, when you look at the quarterback class for next year versus what we just saw, better, worse, or where do you see that group?
Well, that's a great example of what I was just discussing and how we try to differentiate ourselves. We did not have Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix as first-round talents. In fact, we had Penix as quarterback 7 and in the third round. So, that's based off of our personal evaluations, how we view him as a prospect. It's not that we're trying to tear him down and what he can't do, but it's the concerns that you have within his game. And why it was such a shocking selection by the Atlanta Falcons with the eighth overall pick. And we can go into that in more detail and why that we were so low on him comparatively. But there was no denying that he can throw the football, right? Everyone acknowledges he can spin it in the amount of production he had for two seasons at Washington. So when you consider those guys being a little lower, that means the other four that you're discussing were legitimate first-round guys in our book. Do we have that going into 2025? That's not necessarily the case as we are currently construing it. You have a Carson Beck from Georgia who very well could be the first quarterback off the board. I know Colorado's Shedeur Sanders is a bit of a lightning rod at the moment.
A little bit.
You can't deny his talent. Just a little. You can't deny his talent. He does have to grow in certain areas, and a lot of that will have to do if he's more comfortable in the pocket this year, right? And then from there, you know, you're projecting to a great. Can a Jalen Milroe build upon what he did over the second half of last season, which he was really good? You want to see that full year and so on and so forth when it comes to these young quarterbacks. So I don't say it's to the same level. It's certainly not a guy that you expect to go number one overall at the moment. It's good, but it's not to what we just saw.
You know, you mentioned Carson Beck, and of course, in y'all's mock draft, you have him going at number 6, where the Giants would be at by the DraftKings reverse, you know, Super Bowl odds. With Carson Beck, and, you know, watching him last year, it really looked like maybe early on in the year, Kirby Smart staff, new quarterback, you know, kind of was restricted a little bit, wasn't giving him too much, you know, responsibilities, but as the season, he really grew as a quarterback. And, Brett, I'll tell you, I was super impressed with the Auburn game. He made some mistakes early in that game, but able to come back, lead the team. Of course, a lot of the passes were to Brock Bowers, which, if he's my tight end, throwing it to him as many times as I can. But what do you see out of Carson Beck? Because as a pro prospect, what are some key traits you're seeing with him?
I like his pocket navigation, right? And this is – people mistake mobility with the ability to run and more often than not. And I'm not saying that Carson Beck is unathletic. That's not the case. He's just not your typical dual-threat quarterback as we now see in the NFL. But pocket mobility is absolutely vital in quarterback mobility. And his ability to just simply take those nuanced steps within the pocket to avoid pressure, to create throwing lanes for himself. And I think that's where he really excels. Now, to your point, some of that's very similar to what I'd say J.J. McCarthy was this past year, right? You're in a certain type of offense. You have more talent than most of the people you're playing. You have a certain philosophy from the coaching staff that they want to employ a physical ground and pound attack, so the quarterback isn't featured necessarily as much as, say, a Washington was with a Penix and the number one or two passing offense over the last 2 years. So I think you have to navigate that a little bit when it comes to the evaluation and project what you see in specific throws, even if the amount of those throws are fewer in comparison to other prospects. But his ability to stand tall in the pocket to essentially create that room for himself to work with efficiency and poise consistently in the passing game is really his greatest strength. And I think we'll see more of him this year as he continues to grow, as they expand the offense a little bit. And that'll be important because, like I said earlier, this is not an instance where we're viewing him as that Caleb Williams, Trevor Lawrence, you know, or even we had Drake May as QB1, so not even one of those level of prospects, but he's on the cusp of being a top 5 guy, and you want to see him continue to grow, as you well stated, throughout his second season as a full-time starter.
I know, and there was some talk, you know, players that could obviously be for more NIL money, which I think we're going to see two guys say, well, I could come back, or, you know, give them some more money, or, you know, stuff like that with NIL. But, you know, I guess there was maybe some flirtation with him, maybe not serious. But just looking at him, how would you rank him versus the quarterbacks we just saw get drafted?
We had May number one, Caleb Williams number two, and they were very closely rated. Our grades were based on projections, right? When you view Drake May, I think he was one of those players that we nitpicked too much, and that happens in every draft class where we're constantly looking at the negatives and not where he wins, because he has a lot of Justin Herbert to his game if you develop him properly, which is basically the ideal. And the NFL quarterback position, talking about 6'4", 6'5", you know, 225 to 235 pounds between that range. So then you have Caleb Williams, whose playmaking ability and just natural, just elastic arm talent was unreal. So those two were essentially on a different level, even going into last year. We already saw them as elite prospects. Jaden Daniels grew into an elite prospect, much like we saw with Joe Burrow. Now, Daniels was better his penultimate season at LSU than Burrow was, but he really allowed himself to develop and mature mentally to become the type of quality passer, to become the Heisman Trophy winner and the number two overall pick. So, a lot of credit needs to go there. I'm sure if you haven't read the articles about it or don't know much about it, Daniels put in a lot of time with a VR system that really helped him with his vision for the game. And I think that's something we may see more and more with upcoming quarterbacks or young quarterbacks in the NFL, but it's neither here nor there. Once you get past those first three, then I would put Beck on that McCarthy level. Now, this is coming from someone who has stated publicly in our Bleacher Report Awards, where all the analysts get to pick their Rookie of the Year candidates and so on and so forth. I chose McCarthy as the NFL Rookie of the Year. So I'm saying this, putting him in a second tier compared to those guys, while also talking out of the other side of my mouth and saying he's going to be NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. And I'm doing so because of situation, right? Mm-hmm. Bill, if we've been doing this long enough, how many times do I say situation, situation, situation? Mm-hmm. It matters. That's what in Minnesota you have, you know, Jefferson and you have Addison and you have a strong offensive line and you got TJ Hawkinson. So that's perfect for a quarterback like McCarthy, who's very smart, who can work efficiently and just do what you ask of him in the system. I think that's what you're going to ask of Carson Beck when he gets into the NFL. So I would put him in a second tier in that McCarthy range, more so than the top three guys we saw go at the top of this year's draft.
So another quarterback, and Brent, I have to watch myself because I cover Auburn and write for Auburn about last four college football. So I'm about to ask about the Alabama quarterback, Jalen Milroe. I think there is a lot of curiosity with how he's going to look this upcoming season, because with Kalen DeBoer coming in, was, you know, working on Tommy Rees, with, you know, obviously Nick Saban's gone and that whole and most of that staff. And we've seen great athleticism, you know, and you talked about it in the open here that he improved as the season went on. He really did a great deep ball thrower. Maybe the intermediate thing, you know, needs to be worked on. When you look at Jalen Milroe, what do you see out of him, and what does he have to work on in this next year in college before he goes off to the NFL?
Consistency, particularly with mechanics and ball placement, right? These are the things you want, and that's applicable in a lot of cases for quarterbacks. But when you go into the up and down nature of his game, right? You had that two interceptions against Texas. You had, there was one game where he was under 50%, I believe, it was against Arkansas, off the top of my head, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. You know, this was a time where essentially they were considering their other options of who was going to start for them over the second half of the season. Milroe regained that job. He kept his head down. He put in the work. You know, you look at his last four or five games, it's over 65% completion percentage for the most part. Wasn't creating the turnovers. He has obviously the elite athleticism from a running perspective, if you want to implement that into your game with RPOs and quarterback runs and of that sort. But if you can give me that decision-making and ball placement and consistency that we saw more so in the second half than the first, then I think you have an opportunity to be a first-round quarterback. We projected him there, but that's exactly what it is, a projection. And so I could very well see him, you know, dovetailing off and not being a first-round guy, maybe second, third day. But he has clearly, it's Alabama. He's going to have talent there. It doesn't matter. He's going to have talent there. And as long as he continues to play at a relatively high level, he's going to get serious consideration early in the process.
Yeah, and like I said, and look, I always look back on it, and Auburn fans, you can mute the or put, turn the volume down. Mm-hmm. What I'm about to say, that throw, I know it's just one throw, Brent, but that throw, and I know there was no pressure in Iron Bowl when they won the game, but still, putting the ball right where he had to put it, that was an impressive throw. I know it's just one throw, but still, I feel like that's kind of like an example of what he's capable of.
Well, while on the move across your body, right? And that's very, 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 very hard to do. I don't know if I could put enough varies in front of that. Now, yes, I agree that was bad defense more than it was a great throw, and it was a great throw. But it's but I'm not going to try to completely tear down Auburn, because obviously they had guys that were drafted this year in that secondary that are talented enough to play in the NFL. So you have to make the play when it's all said and done. It's just, I think it was unfortunate for the Tigers that they just completely had that meltdown at the very end. But that's neither here nor there. It just shows, you're right, that you have that natural ability. And that's something that has changed since I've done this. Like I said, I'm now two decades strong in being covered at the NFL draft in some professional, you know, manner, right? And it was always about being able to orchestrate the system, to work from the pocket, to be able to throw accurately. What did they used to always say? Accuracy can't be taught. And we've learned that's actually not true. Mm-hmm. Now, natural accuracy is innate, but when you improve mechanics, when you improve footwork, when you improve eye placement, you know, eye discipline, and you know where to go the ball, and you have an understanding of defenses and so on and so forth, you can go the Josh Allen route. Now, Josh Allen route takes years of putting in a lot of hard work, not only with your coaching staff, but with your personal quarterback trainer in the offseason, and harnessing that wild bronco that is the quarterback with that type of natural skills. But it can be done. And it's not just Josh Allen. We're looking for big things this year from Anthony Richardson. So we saw what Lamar Jackson has done, a two-time NFL MVP. Even Patrick Mahomes, we all look at Patrick Mahomes now and forget what he was as a prospect, which is completely different than what we view them now. It has changed the way we evaluate the quarterback position. So guys like Milroe that have that just natural ability, and you can see him do certain things, you can coach him up to do it more consistently and build an offense around it, more importantly, to take full advantage of his capabilities. And that's, to me, the biggest difference now compared to when I started doing it so long ago, in the way we look at the position and how it's being drafted differently.
You know, in the last part, I want to ask you about wide receiver. And, of course, every year, great receivers come out in the draft. Of course, we mentioned you have Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr., just to name two of them that come out from this past year. And you look at Luther Burden, and watching the SEC every week like I do, and I see what he was doing with Missouri, and of course, like, Malik Nabers was like always one of the headliners in the SEC. I feel like a lot of people just didn't pay a lot of attention to Luther Burden, but maybe that is because he was at Missouri. Just, they're not in the primetime matchups all the time, even though they were a really good team last year. 5'11", you know, obviously not all, you know, as tall as some receivers you would see, and all that stuff don't matter. But just when you look at Luther Burden, why is he, to you guys, the best receiver coming out for next year?
Well, this is the best compliment I can give him to kind of explain why we have him so high in the process, right? You mentioned Malik Nabers. On the LSU team, there was another first-round wide receiver by the name of Brian Thomas Jr., right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When I watched the LSU-Missouri game, the guy I couldn't take my eyes off was Luther Burden. Now, we're talking about two elite prospects that just came out, and it was Burden that I was like, who is this guy, and I need to know more about him. That's the best compliment I could possibly give him. He had a season-high 11 receptions in that game, 149 receiving yards. The one thing I want to see from Burden, he really exploded in Missouri's offense by moving into the slot. And that's much like Nabers, very similar in that regard. let's see what he can do this year when he's keyed on a little more. Let's move him around a little more within the offensive formation. Let's see what he can do. But the fact that I just named two highly explosive and dynamic wide receivers that NFL teams desperately wanted in the first round, and he's on that same level, shows you exactly what I think, or tells you exactly what I think of him as a prospect comparatively, and that says a lot, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting with Missouri because a lot of their offense played off of the running game with Cody Schrader. Well, now he's gone. Can Missouri duplicate that running attack? And if they can't, obviously defense is going to be paying more attention to Luther Burden, getting more pressure on Brady Cook in that quarterback position, and just focusing more on their passing offense if they can't get that run game going like they had last year.
Well, let's not forget, Schrader kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
He was a Division II transfer walk-on. So I'm not saying that they can replicate exactly what he did because his season was phenomenal last year, and I thought he was a draftable prospect. And looked good in the Senior Bowl or during All-Star festivities and things like that. But at the same time, it's like, you know what? You found a guy. Can you find another guy? And if you continue with what they did a year ago, now granted you lost to Javon Foster, which was a key part of their offensive line, but if you can continue that system with that quarterback, with that wide receiver, I think they'll still be pretty good overall.
Yeah, it's a bit true with them. And there's so many names in y'all's mock draft we go through. But, Brent, we'd be here for a few hours, I feel like. And I just recommend everybody go to Bleacher Report. Go into Google, go to Bleacher Report, find the 2025 mock draft. You'll enjoy it as much as I think everybody enjoyed our conversation here, Brent. I know I did. Always enjoy talking football with you. Could do it for hours. But anyways, if the listeners, viewers want to check you out online, where can they find you and all the work you're doing?
Oh, it's I'm Simple Man, and you can find me on Twitter or X, as we joked before we came on here, at Brent Sobleski. All my work appears on Bleacher Report. So currently working on the best wide receiver rooms in the NFL as we speak, so we're kind of transitioning into the pro-style scouting here for the next couple weeks. But overall, you'll see more in the coming weeks when it comes to the 2025 NFL draft as we kind of start peering ahead a little bit and just preparing. So keep an eye out, and we'll always have all the coverage we can possibly give for everyone out there on Bleacher Report.
All right, sounds good. Everybody go check out the great work done by Bleacher Report. And Brent, I appreciate the time, and I look forward to doing this again sometime down the road.
No, thank you for having me, as always, my friend.
All right, once again, thanks to Brent Sobleski for being on this edition of the Philip Jordan Show. Remember to go check out all his great work over at Bleacher Report. And that's going to do it for today's show, the last show of the week. Be back with you early next week with some more content here on Wiregrass Daily News and the Philip Jordan Show. Remember, you can follow me on social media at PJordanSEC. Podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please follow, rate, and review. Leave a review. I will read it on a future edition of the show. And if you leave just 4 stars, you are just a straight-up hater. You can email me at sports.philipjordan@gmail.com. Also, check out the show over at Wiregrass Daily News. And also, check out my written work over at Last Word on College Football. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Till next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Philip Jordan Show. Subscribe to the audio podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can watch the show over at the Philip Jordan Media YouTube channel. Got a question or topic idea? Email the show at sportstalkphilipjordan@gmail.com. Join us next time for more great football talk.